Was there a, you said, Bernie, there was a social life attached to the place as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What kind of social life?
Well, you see, Tallaght was a village then, so everybody knew everybody.
Mm.
If you went for a drink, you were drinking with the same people that you'd been working with. And then they started up a social club up there. No, I think I was left at that time.
Mm.
But we used to go up to the social club a lot. You know, the social end. There was dinner dances, dress dances, Christmas parties,
outings.
Yeah, there was a great, there was a cruise on the Shannon.
Yeah.
You know, there was lots of things, a trip to Aintree, you know, to the Grand National every year. So, you know.
Why did that particular trip take place to the Grand National? Is it because the Mr. Gallagher reared horses?
No, it had nothing got to do. It was just a group of guys. Con Archibald, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He used to start the social end of it, and just chartered a plane and filled it.
There were some guys that be only looking for an excuse to have it. A deal, like, or go off somewhere. I remember Dublin were playing Galway in an important National League match down in Tuam. And we ran a bus from Orny there as well. And there was people waiting.
To go.
To go, yeah. We'd say it was a 52-seater. There was about 60 names down. We had to, there was that much demand. But once you could get away and... You knew everyone.
There was nothing else around here then. You hadn't got sports centres, and you hadn't got the square. And this was country. This was the country you were talking about.
And you were only...
We cycled to work, and we cycled back, and we walked. You know, it was all country places, you know.
But you were only about 5 miles from the city. I mean, when you think about it, or 6 miles.
I know, but it were county. We were County Dublin then. It wasn't Dublin 24.
Yeah.
This was kind of, I mean, we cut turf on the bogs and all, you know, we grew all our own vegetables out here. There was nothing, it wasn't city life and as they have once, it today.
Yeah, once you hit Green Hills down there, we'd say at the upper end of Walkinstown and Temple Oak Bridge here, you were in the countryside. It was nothing but blackberries and
farming.
You name it.
Where does the road to the west, supposing, I know the Blessington Road would take you all the way down to Carlow, and that was the old Carlow Road.
Mm-hmm.
Where was the road, say if you were coming from Limerick to Dublin through Naas, the old Naas Dublin Road, did that come any way near Tallaght? I mean, did you cut off
at Belgard.
Yeah.
And
if you were coming from the west, yeah, you'd have to come up through Lucan.
And all the way
and
across.
And in through, up across into Clondalkin.
But when you say it was the countryside, did you have travellers, people, you know, that would come and stay? I mean, was there anything going on
here? Yeah, but there wasn't that much transport at the time.
No.
Very few people had cars around here then.
And other than the factories, was there anything else to keep people, obviously,
farming, and a few shops. I mean, there was one doctor and there was three policemen in the village, and you know, so we can empathise with the Kerry people.
And so you had a village.
Tallaght village, yeah. And the Dominicans were one side of it, and the shops and houses on the other.
So when you got married, where did you live?
We lived in Old Bon over beside the Shamrock in an old house we rented from a farmer. Until these were built, these were county council houses.
So we're 44 years
here now.
Yeah, but before that, 44 years ago, it was...
This was the first estate that was built. Yeah. The last one
was a house out in the country then.
A little small cottage beside, over on the Old Bon Road.
Beside the Hearn's public house there.
Yeah.
We used to have to go down the end of the lane to the water pump.
It did happen. But we had to carry the water even when we were living in Old Court.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I suppose electricity was something.
1951, the electricity came to Owlcourt. Yeah.
So in that cottage, there was no electricity, no water, no running water.
There was no running water. We had electricity. Yeah. There was no running water. No toilets. No. Just dry toilets. Yeah.
My goodness. Mm. And you reared how many?
We had three daughters.
Yeah. Mm. Was it easy to rear a family here at the time?
Oh, it was, because you hadn't got the pressure that they have today. Mm. I mean, if you wanted something, you saved for it. You didn't. Everything wasn't instant. You know, if they get a house or an apartment today, everything has to be there. Mm. It wasn't like that. You saved and you waited, and people weren't greedy. You know, we weren't rushing anywhere. Where were we going?
And could you talk to me about the way that, was there any community? Was there any, I mean, did you have neighbours and people
The best of neighbours, yeah.
And did you have a place where you could meet, and was there a meeting?
Well, it was the GAA club, St. Anne's, Bonabrina.
Was that the main
pavilion, we call
meeting
it. Yeah,
place?
Yeah, the pavilion.
Now, we came from the other side of the river. We're going back to each side of the river. We were the other side of the river, so we'd be St. Anne's. The river would go to Thomas Davis. They are the local, the rival GAA club on this side of the river.
And was there a lot of rivalry between the two clubs?
Oh, yes, yeah. And it was even carried on into Orney. You know, the crack up there used to be fierce about the two teams. And that's going back 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And if you were... Is this a fair question? If you were born at either side of the river, who were the better off?
No, we were the other side. We both of us were St. Anne's.
Okay.
But my mother and father, my father was Thomas Davis and my mother was St. Anne's. Mm. So she was obviously the stronger one because we all went up to St. Anne's.
And how big was the club? Well, I know St. Anne's was a brilliant club, but what about the Thomas Davis Club? Was that a big club?
Oh, yeah, it's very big, yeah.
But we had a small clubhouse and all now before they had, you know. Like, it's only in the 70s they got their present clubhouse, and now naturally they have extended onto it, and they have some fantastic facilities up there. There's no two ways about it. They've come on great, as most clubs around have, you know.
And for a woman then, having young children and rearing, what kind of pastimes or what kind of life did you have?
Not complain. I was a homemaker. He did the work. He went out and brought home the wages, and that was the way it was then. You just spend time with your children and that. I mean, I didn't want for anything else.
But was there a women's club? Was there?
There was, yes, but I wasn't into that.
Oh, what kind of club was it?
Oh, there was ladies' clubs all over the place and that. But
that's the women's country.
Well, they were there. They were up in St. Anne's as well. Yeah. No, yeah. I didn't. Didn't take part in any of those. No. Mm.
And was it like other counties where you had open houses, and did people visit each other?
Well, I came, Willie, up in the Waterworks, their house was the only house on it. It was a gate lodge. Mm. So their nearest neighbour would have been a shop across the road, down the road a bit. But where I came from, it was 24 cottages. And we never locked the door. There was neighbours coming and going, and the more there was in and out, the better. And, you know, there was relations, and it never stopped. We never got bored. We didn't know. I never knew what the word bored was.
And
there was always somebody coming and going, something to do.
And if there was somebody having difficulty and finding money or...
The neighbours always helped one another out, yeah. You'd never be short. Coal, tea, sugar, whatever. If anybody knocked or, you know...
A cup of sugar.
Great. And the nearest shop was in Talla. The Burks was the pub, and they had half bar, half shop, you know. And
oh, yes.
Kennedy's.
And what about at the time? I'm just thinking the TB was rampant. Sanatorium was just down the road. And did it affect any of your families?
No, thank God. No, it didn't.
Or did you know people?
We did, for some neighbours, yeah.
Very badly affected?
Yeah, the whole families, yeah. Yeah, but nobody died from it, such. But I believe my grandmother on my mother's side, she died from TB. Yeah, but that was 1924 or 29 or something like that, you know. But good French country air. So we didn't, plenty of milk and plenty of homegrown veg. No, we did. We were very lucky because my father anyway, he dug the garden and supplied every, you know.
Self-sufficient.
Yeah.
And transport, because you were out the country.
Bicycle.
When did you get your first car?
he got that to impress me.
19. When was it? 1962, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah.
A Morris Minor.
Yeah.
Black Morris Minor.
I bought it in Modern Motors down in... on the Sundrive Road.
How much did it cost you?
I think it was £140 at the time.
And I thought
it was a Rolls Royce. Oh God, don't go there.
And you were definitely you obviously had a bike, so prior to that,
oh,
you
yes,
were biking
yeah.
everywhere.
And you could leave your bike, your bicycle anywhere then. Like we up in Bohunabrina now, there was a little shop there next to the old bus stop, and anyone from up around the waterworks and that, they used to cycle down. It was a little driveway into the shop. Throw the bike up against the paling there, run down just from here out to your car there and onto the bus and away into town. You come back late that night, your bike could be still there. They do the same at Kennedy's. Anyone up in Old Court used to cycle down the road, leave the bicycle there outside Kennedy's pub. Back home that evening, bicycle still there.
And what was it like when you were, say, the you know, kind of, when you left work in the evening? I suppose you worked long hours, did you? What time?
In Orange.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah, 12-hour shifts, maybe.
So you weren't inclined to go anywhere. Was there a local that you...
Well, he'd play football or cross-country.
Yeah.
But now... Going back to the milk situation, when I was on the milk preparation, if you went in at 4 in the evening, you had to stay there till all that milk was processed. And it could be 6 in the morning when you get out.
Why is that now? I mean, why didn't you switch?
They said it would have been uneconomical because... It was only now and again this had happened. But it could go on for weeks, you know.
And were you on piecework or did you get paid a salary when you were there?
No, it was just a salary. There was no
piecework.
Bonus, no. Eventually that came in later on. But when I started up there, there was no such thing as a bonus.
Yeah. And say, you know, you were there for 19 years, but... Did your salary go up that much in 19 years?
Oh, it did, yeah. But there again, you were always dependent on overtime for to bring it up that bit more, you know.
And what was your salary?
Well, when I started up there, it was £7.3 and £7.6 or something like that.
You did better than I did. There was no equal pay then. No.
And what did you get as a woman?
The first week, my first week's wages was, that was working from 8 in the morning till 6 in the evening, and from 8 to 1 on a Saturday, was £2.19 and 9.
My goodness.
And you handed that up when you went home. You didn't keep any of that yourself? No.
Keep it,
no,
yeah.
No. Didn't even consider it.
Whatever was handed back to you, yeah, you accept it, and that was it.
But I thought that was a huge, an astronomical jump, because I think I was only on £4.05 in the insurance.
So it was a good job to get when you got in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. What did you do when you left Arnie's?
Arnie's. I was idle for a year and a half. I found it very hard now to get work. But eventually, just a little snippet in the paper, that size, one day, the Irish Press it was, or the Evening Press, they were looking for factory machinists down in CPC. They were, they manufactured soups, Gnawer soup, down on the canal there at Golden Bridge. And they were into, they had the franchise for Kellogg's at the time as well. They used to make cornflakes and Rice Krispies down there, but eventually that they lost that and that went over to Wales, I think. But that's where I went down to, and I was there for nearly 20 years as well.
And comparing the two jobs, or is it possible to compare them? I mean, were you...
No.
Which were you?
I was happier up in Orney.
I found it
very hard to settle in down in the other job. Even though the lads and I were A1, but there was a different tempo or something to it, you know?
It was changing the times, maybe, was it? Because you were now in the 70s.
More or less, yes. But I thought it's hard to put a handle on it now, you know. I think the crack and all up there was much better, you know. And you knew everyone. It took me a long time to get into...
Where exactly was the factory?
In Golden Bridge.
And how far away is Golden Bridge from here?
Be about
6 miles.
4.5, 5 miles.
So the catchment area for the staff would be
Drimnagh and Royalto and
so different Crumlin, people, yeah, all together.
Oh definitely. Yes, yeah, yeah. Mm. So you had to break in and make new friends.
And did you find that hard breaking
in? I did. Yeah, yeah. For a while now,
yeah.
Because you like, I went in Tourney like when I was young anyway, and you sort of grew up with the crowd. Like Sonny Kelly would be one, you know. We started up there around the same time, fellas like that, and you sort of grew up with them, and then you had to make the clean break and start all over again, you know.
Oh, and was there any time that you kind of regretted that you left when you did?
Oh God, no.
It was time to go.
Mm.
Yeah, and you put that down purely to management, do you?
Well, I would, yes, yeah.
No other reason, yeah.
No.
Yeah, no. Isn't that extraordinary? You know, no, that you should change.
No, I was happy now. I couldn't have been happier in a job. Yeah. Even though it was repetitive and we were into a routine and all, but you knew when you went in the morning, you knew exactly what to do and away you went.
There was a strike one time. Were you involved in the strike? Were you out in the cold?
Yeah, there was two strikes up there.
Two.
Mm.
And tell me, were you out in both strikes?
Yeah.
Oh, so you were obviously, there was a union and then you were part of the union. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And who called the strike and why?
Well, the first strike was called by the Amalgamated Transport Union. It was purely the ordinary workers, they were looking for an increase. I forget what the increase was now. Brenda probably know it.
Mm.
But we were out for four
That's
weeks.
That's my sister, yes. She was a shop steward.
We were out for 4 weeks. When was that? 1960? 65 or 66. We weren't long married, anyway. And yeah, it dragged on for about 4 weeks. And it ended like that then, you know.
Oh, you went out because of money, is it? A raise in salary.
Mm-hmm.
And how much extra were you looking for?
Oh God, I forget now. Yeah,
but
can't for the love of me think, yeah. But yeah.
But was it something that were you happy to go out, or would you have would you prefer not to go out on strike?
Well, our situation at the time, I would have preferred not to come out, but when you join up.
Is it because the rest of your buddies were there and they were going out and you couldn't be behind?
You didn't cross the picket line then?
No, that never entered my mind. But
it was Matty Merrigan, was it his union?
He was, yeah, Matt, he'd have been General Secretary of. But the second one then, it had nothing really got to do with us. It was the tradesmen, the fitters and the electrician. And that was a bit dirty now, that one, because there was a lot of families and all divided, you know, because supervisors went in, even though they were part of a union.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused an awful lot of rancor, you know. Well, it lasted about 3 weeks, but the weather now, it was something like the weather we had the last couple of days.
Snow.
And always seems to be like that. And the name calling and this desperate.
You know, kind of the unions tend to rule, don't they? I mean, if they say something, you just, the workers do it.
Yeah. Well,
so do you have leaders in there, like fellas that...
shop steward.
Yeah.
And a union committee, you know, they would go in and meet management, and then they'd bring it back to us, or if I was on it, I'd go in. And now, I was shop steward down in CPC.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. I was, yeah. Shift worker, shop steward. It's not an easy job, like, it's a thankless job, you know.
So, what was your brief?
Well, any grievances or anyone's... The management was stepping out of line and trying to introduce different work practices, you'd have to pull them up on it and organise a meeting and say that's not happening until we go through the right channels and blah blah. This, you're really putting yourself out on a limb, you know.
And did you believe that kind of regime, that way of working, was that a good idea or was it?
Oh yeah, it was. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Well, they never mentioned down there flexibility. Flexibility only came in when things start getting bad, you know, from their point of view. So, I mean, if you were assigned to a job, the way we looked at it was, you stick with that job. And if your machine is broke down and you clean around your machine, you're not brought off somewhere else. It was things like that, you know. Oh no, I want him. You can manage that. Yeah, we need him over here because we're busy on this machine. Without proper consultation, you know, that's it more or less boiled down to that, like that they wouldn't consult with you. But otherwise, like, there wouldn't be that much trouble, you know.
Oh, I see.
But
yeah.
When we went to work in Ornies at first, you had to join a union. You had to be a union member, because we heard horror stories when there was no union in Ornies. Mr. Gallagher used to get his workers and whip them or give them a kick in the behind if they didn't do what he told them.
And what was wrong with that, like it?
Well, I mean, hello, we were starting to move into civilization. You know, I mean, the workers had to have some sort of a life as well. They were earning the money for the guys, weren't they? But they were getting the big money. We were getting the pittance for doing the hard work. I mean, it was a sweatshop. It really was in the summertime, my God. the heat in there. And no, I mean, you're going back, no air conditioning or anything like that. This is going back when they put whitewash on the glass roof to keep the sun out.
But if Mr. Gallagher was the old school, we'll call him, you know, the old school.
Yeah, he came from the north.
He did, yeah, but so he would have been strict. But
very strict.
Was he fair?
Oh, well, I had very little dealings with him. No, he when I got there, he was just rambling around the factory. He had no, he wasn't hands-on then. That was, you know, we had the supervisors and that then. It was starting to get a bit organised. But I wouldn't let anyone hit me or hit any of mine for a day's work. No way. That happened out in South Africa.
He'd have his little chihuahua inside his coat.
And they were him and her went to 8 o'clock mass in the Priory every Sunday morning and all. Mm.
So he was a devoted Christian?
Oh, he was,
Catholic.
As was the majority of the workers up there.
You used to say the rosary,
We did, yeah. In the canteen, you'd have your lunch and you'd go over and there was a statue in the corner of the canteen and we'd say our rosary before you'd go off down for a little walk during your lunch hour.
Oh, yeah, it did. And so kind of, it was another world, wasn't
it? We went on, we did the holy hour in Merion, the convent in Merion Street, wasn't it?
It's William Square.
Yeah, once a month and, you know, we did the first Fridays. You'd get up and go to the Priory and then on to work and everything would be laid on, your cup of tea and all when you get up there. But it was great because everybody knew everybody.
Mm.
We were neighbours, we were friends, we were family. My sister, now Brenda, my sister Kay worked in the box room. That was a trade to do the boxes. But Brenda was the shop steward and girls weren't allowed to wear trousers to work until 1967 in Ornies.
Really?
Oh, you couldn't wear a pair of trousers. She was the first one to wear a pair of trousers. And after that, yet they accepted it. There was no trouble. Like, she wore a pair in one day in 1967, and after that, they accepted it.
And what about nylons and socks?
Stop. Yeah, you had to wear your stockings, and you had to be respectable. You couldn't have any hair out. You wore a turban. You couldn't wear jewellery. I went back to work for about 4 weeks after I got married, and Arthur Bean told me to take off my wedding ring one day. You weren't allowed jewellery or anything, no. Now, most of the women could wear wedding rings, but he didn't know that I was married.
Mm.
He'd obviously missed him somewhere along the line when he told me to take it
off. Like a half.
And you couldn't wear nail polish or anything like that, no.
Can I ask you? Yeah. So, those years that you worked in Ernie, if you had to turn back the clock, would you do it again?
Every minute of it. Which every minute of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though you might get a kick?
No, that's what I said, the horror stories that we were listening to. But no.
Yeah. Well, Willie and Bernie, listen, thank you for this opportunity. This is great. My God, the information was
wonderful. It could go on and on.
You're more than welcome.
Thanks.